spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Thanks be to God who has given us the Holy Spirit, that by the grace of God, we're saved. And it's not by our works. Paul recognized that old sin nature. It's not him, that spiritual man that wants to do for God, but it's that sin nature inside of us. And so we see the sin nature here in Samson, and yet in spite of that, God uses him. He will use you and he will use me. Just open up and say, God, where do you want to use me? I'm willing, I'm ready, send me.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 15.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because
so they're blaming Samson instead of the real enemy. They're ungrateful to Samson. Samson is an inconvenience to them at this point. They want to get back to the status quo. Let us get back to just what we were doing, and we know that the Philistines are ruling over us. Let's just, Samson, why are you causing trouble? Why are you doing this? It's pretty amazing when you counsel people that are into really some bad stuff. And, you know, if you're spiritually minded, you're trying to lead them out of it using scripture, and then they get angry at you. They get angry at you because, you know, they're just captivated by that. They've been dispirited. That they're reduced to cowards. They're not fighting the fight of faith. And so here, they're blaming Samson instead of the real enemy, being ungrateful to him. It's wanting to keep the status quo. I think of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was doing the teaching and just the people were amazed at him and doing the miracles? And finally, he turned to his accusers and he said, now, which one of the good works did I do that you're going to stone me for? You see, he did all these good works and now they wanted to stone him. Isn't that interesting? There is that kind of mindset. So don't get too upset with yourself when you come across people like that. There are just people like that. It doesn't make any sense. Not going to make any sense to you. You know, you just be that person God wants you to be. And if you need to counsel them or share with them and tell they're on the wrong path and they get angry at you, well, don't judge me, you know, kind of thing. Well, that happens. That happens. And so here it is with Samson accusing him. And it goes on, and he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. Verse 12. And they said to him, we have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me. So they said to him, no, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands, yet surely we will not kill you. Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. So it's not that Samson was impervious to death. I mean, yeah, they could have bound him and run him through with a sword. That's what he's saying. And he's trusting them as his people. But what cowards. What cowards they were. Rejecting their deliverer and choosing servitude to the Philistines. And yet God uses that. He uses that on Samson's behalf to put down the Philistines. You know, whenever I teach something like this and talk about God using bad behavior or sometimes people who do wrong, but God brings good out of it. I still remember when we were downtown, a girl who was really a druggy girl, drug addict, and, you know, the police were, you know, always, you know, getting a hold of her, and she was coming into church, and we're always trying to minister to her, and all, and she had come to a place where it seemed like she really came to the Lord, and so she was doing fine for a while, and she brought her parents, who were not saved, she brought her parents into church, and her two parents got saved, and they were in the church serving the Lord, but she kept going back into drugs, and then she just faded out. You know, she left the church and went back into drugs. And I thought, isn't that an interesting thing, how God used this woman who couldn't kick the habit? She was living a life of dependence on her drugs, and yet she brought her mom and dad into church, and they're saved, and they're serving the Lord in the church. And I thought, that's pretty amazing how God just does those kind of things, and really even choosing bad behavior to bring good out of that. Now, when we think about that they would rather serve the Philistines and be delivered, what Samson is really doing for them, it's pretty much similar with the Jews in Jesus' time. You can find a parallel there, as the Jews handed Jesus over to the courts and to the Romans to be crucified, lest the Romans take away their place of leadership in the nation. They were more concerned with their position and who they were, and they would give Jesus up to the Romans to be crucified. And yet God used that. But it's interesting how God just uses just the wickedness of people and how he will use that for his purposes and the good. You see, Samson, he submitted to them. Okay, bind me. Just don't kill me. Bind me. Jesus said, well, allowed them to bind him and then take him for trial. And then finally, when he was headed to the cross, he said, no man takes my life. I give my life freely. Don't you know that I could call 12, pray to my Father and call 12? He will send 12 legions of angels to rescue me. You see, Jesus had the authority to put down those that had bound him, but he didn't. You see, Samson, even with his own people, he didn't resist that. He allowed that. And that was for a purpose. And just as Samson delivered up by his people, and ultimately, when they were delivering him up, in the people's mind, they thought he was going to die by the Philistines. Because they weren't thinking of being delivered. They weren't thinking that at all. They just wanted to get rid of Samson and let status quo, let us just live like we were. We don't care if we're oppressed. Really an amazing thing. And what a parallel with the days of Jesus, those who are the Jews and those who knew the law, those who led the people, just like that. Matthew Henry, I like what he says here. Justly, in their misery, prolonged, who obliged their worst enemies and thus abused their best friend. They were miserable, the Jews were. But they prolonged their enemy and abused their best friend. A sad situation when a person falls into that place and into that trap. Well, we go on, verse 14, go down to verse 17. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax, and is flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands, verse 15, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with a jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with a jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. Verse 17, and it came about when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and named the place Ramah Lehi. So you find that the hill of jawbones. But here they're shouting when Samson is delivered to them, bound. The shouts turned to shrieks when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Oh, it was a death shriek. But, you know, I think for us, when we witness to people, when we talk to people, when we just say, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit. And when you talk to them, you don't have to be louder than normal. You just have to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in speaking right to the heart. You might have a shriek in them. You know, it may be a good shriek, maybe a bad shriek. But you see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It brings evidence of God's presence. And that's what's happening here. Evidence of God's presence, because here an army is sent against one man, Samson. And yet when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, then they shriek basically in terror. And he does a lot of damage there, and we see that. And so we find that those men of Judah, remember Judah was the tribe where the Messiah would come through. And so Judah, they didn't help. They didn't come and help him, knowing that, you know, the Philistines are going to be against him. But I think it's interesting. I wonder if there was jealousy among the tribes. I find that sometimes there's jealousy among the churches, jealousy among the ministers. That's just our old nature. You know, jealousy for gifts. How many do you have in your church? What kind of facility do you have? How big is your budget? How many do you have on staff? How many this, how many of that? You know, and you're kind of placing yourself, oh, I'm above them, so I'm up here. Uh-oh, I'm below this person, so I'm down here. I wonder if there was jealousy here in this situation. Because the tribe of Judah, they were to bring forth the Messiah. But it seems like they would rather serve the Philistines than have Samson, who's of the tribe of Dan, deliver them. Oh, no, we're fine right here. No, we don't want the tribe of Dan to deliver us. No way. No way. We don't want the tribe of Dan to outdo us, to better us. No, no, we'll be right here. I wonder if that could be. Now, that's just speculation. But I just know my heart, and I know the heart of people. You know, there is that jealousy thing there in us. We saw that with the Ephraimites, you know, with, you know, whenever in Judges, when you get to Judges, where they're not included in the battle, and they come and they want to burn, you know, burn you with fire, with Gideon and then with Jephthah and that kind of thing, you know, the jealousy among the tribes. And so I think that's probably could be true right here. You see, even when they're saved, they're jealous. They're jealous. And I think sometimes there are those that are willing to divide the church rather than yield their opinions and their position for the good of the unity of the body of Christ. Some want to go out of church and they want to bring a horde of people with them because they disagree with what's going on. Really sad. Really sad. It shows the heart of an individual. You see, Samson, one of the things you have to understand with Samson, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, but why? Because he's jealous for his position. His ego, he was, they did against him, so he's now retaliating against them. And so it's really one of those things where Samson is selfishly taking vengeance on the Philistines for what they did to him. Not so much to deliver Israel, but it does deliver Israel because that's God's plan. Israel benefits from that. That's the providence of God. You see, we can't just look at man and how society is going and how things are going. No, there's a bigger picture, God. God is doing things. And so even with Samson, I think if you were living in those days, boy, that guy is angry. Boy, he's really retaliating because what they did to him. They dissed him. Oh, he's going to diss them. Look at what he's doing. Yeah, but you see, God was working, even in that situation. Even in the worst situation, even in the worst of governments, God is working. Even in the worst of situations, God is working. I feel restrained in saying things that are controversial. But I think I have to. One of the things when we go to Israel, we don't go into Yad Vashem, you know, the Holocaust Museum, where you see the millions of remnants of the Jews that were slaughtered. The reason we don't do that, because one of the biggest abortion mills is in Israel. They're killing little babies in the womb, and they don't think anything of it. You see, we just get outraged when we hear about Hamas, what they're doing to little babies. And yet, what is Israel doing to little babies in the womb? What are we in America doing to little babies in the womb? Don't we ever look at that? You see, from the big picture, how does God see that? How does God look at that? That's the way we need to look at it. We need to see it that way. That's why I'm kind of constrained in even saying that, because it is very controversial. Hamas, they're like wild animals. They need to be captured and killed for what they're doing. It's horrible. The Bible says that in Peter. You know, but wait a minute. When you look at how God deals with people and judgment upon sins of people, you have to realize we are not without sin in America. Israel is not without sin in Israel. And so some of the evil things that happen, as some of the worst, God used the Babylonians against Israel and it cried out, prophets cried out, God, they're worse than us. Why are you using them to judge us? And then God judged Babylon as well. So you see, I think sometimes we get earthly and we look at different things that are going on right today instead of looking from a view up on top of what God's doing. Yeah, Samson, you know, he's taking vengeance for himself or his revenge, you know, for what they did to him, and he's angry for that. And I know that the anger of God does not achieve the righteousness of God, but God used that for the deliverance of Israel here. It was the providence of God. You see, and he did it miraculously with the jawbone of a donkey. That's a foolish thing. You think, how did that ever hold up? You're killing 1,000 with a jawbone? Yeah, well, he did it. He did it. God uses the weak things to confound the wise and the foolish things to confound those things that are. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not from man. That's why God does that. Well, notice we end off here, verse 18. And he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the day of the Philistines. Now, he does a memorial. Basically, it's a memorial to himself. Josephus, the historian, he surmises that God disciplined Samson with this insatiable thirst for not mentioning God in this memorial. He doesn't mention God. At the end of his life, he does, when he pushes down the temple of Dagon. But that could be true, just an insatiable thirst. And yet, notice what God does. God opens that rock, splits that rock, and gives refreshment. Because that's our God. Even with Samson retaliating for himself, for what they did to him, and yet God used that. You see, often our afflictions bring us to a place of thanking God, bring us to a place of reality of God. He brings water out, refreshing. And even in God shows his mercy is far greater than our folly, more than Samson's folly and his egotistical ways of life. God's mercy overshadows that. And to me, that's always good, because I look at Samson as really being an enigma and a paradox. And I think if God can use a fellow like Samson, he can use any of us. And we just realize we don't try to be fools, or we don't try to be bumbling idiots, or we don't try to go back into the old life and sin. We want to serve the Lord, but we just find that sometimes the flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why Paul, he says in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Thanks be to God, who has given us the Holy Spirit, you know, that by the grace of God, we're saved, and it's not by our works. And so Paul, he recognized that old nature, that sin nature. It's not him, that spiritual man, that wants to do for God, but it's that sin nature inside of us. And so we see the sin nature here in Samson, and yet in spite of that, God uses him. He will use you, and he will use me. Just open up and say, God, where do you want to use me? I'm willing, I'm ready, send me.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 15. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 16. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.